Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calvary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, listen to this scripture reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. So God's word speaks. And surely the Bible relates this short story as an historical event meant to be instructive for us still today. In this broadcast, I will just retell the story, explaining it and making applications for you and me today as we proceed. We are told that during the time of the prophet Elisha, there was a problem at one of the Christian schools where Elisha would teach the students. The students here are called the sons of the prophets. These were schools started in the days of Samuel, where young men could go just to learn more about the truths and the ways of the Lord. These schools were not so much for making people to become prophets, but just for the serious-minded in that day. Reading through the whole story of Elisha in the Bible, you will find there was a Sons of the Prophets school in Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. Probably the one spoken about in our text was the one by Jericho, for that is the place closest also to the Jordan River mentioned in our text. Well, what was the problem at the Sons of Prophets school in Jericho? Verse 1 tells us there were so many students enrolled in that school that things were too cramped and uncomfortable for learning and living. They needed a bigger building. This problem by itself suggests the Lord was surely blessing the work of Elisha as he served for more than 50 years as prophet of the Lord after Elijah. Though there was still much wickedness and departing from the Lord in the land of Israel and Judah in those days, there were also hopeful signs of some revival of true religion in the land. It is always encouraging when among the younger generation there is a hunger and thirst and commitment for the faithful and true ministry of the Word. How wonderful when we see that also in our times. Is this something you too pray for, dear friends, and work for as well? In the last verses of 2 Kings 2, we learn about young people who just made fun of Elisha and the things he would teach. There we have that awful story about the attack of the bears against those children who mocked Elisha. Young people and children listening to this broadcast, let me ask you this question. Are you presently part of the more serious Sons of the Prophet school in your place and community? Or would you be found more likely with the indifferent mocking group? You can only be in one or the other. The call of God's word, also in our text passage, now urges everyone, be sure to be among those who will be taught and instructed in the ways of the Lord. Yes, for consider our delightful story further. We are told the sons of the prophets approach Elisha asking for permission to relocate and to build bigger quarters for their school. Verse 2 tells us Elisha agrees with their request and gives his permission and blessing upon the project. The students were not lazy either, for they intended to build the school residence themselves. It would be a very simple structure. They all head out with their tools, some of which they borrowed, to the area near the Jordan River, where they would build and where there would be trees for the building of their new place. Can you imagine all these young people heading out for this building project? It must have been somewhat exciting, don't you think? Now we are told in verse 3 that even as the students leave to go, there is one young man who asks Elisha to come along. "Be content, or be pleased, I pray you, to go with your servants." Obviously, this person felt the need for Elisha to come along, and he expresses his real respect for and submission to Elisha by calling himself and the other students his servants. This person did not only want the permission of Elisha, the man of God, for the building project, but he wanted the presence of Elisha, the man of God, as well. How wonderful, by the way, when this is the case with us too, in all our ways, with our every project and endeavor that we may get involved with. It is a good sign of living faith when you too, at the beginning of each new day and week, in whatever you do, wherever you go, you ask not only God's favor upon you, but also His presence with you. Is that what you do too, children, young people, adults, parents, grandparents who may be listening? Do you seek God's approval on your ways and His nearness all your days? Have you personally learned, and do you own the reality that without God's blessing and presence, all our labors are in vain? How does Psalm 127 verse 1 put it? "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain." How important to realize this and to go forward step by step, day by day, always in humble dependency upon the Lord. Is that also your mindset and heart attitude? Won't that show in you going to church the first day of each week too, getting so a right perspective with all the responsibilities and challenges and cares that every new week brings us? How blessed you will be when this petition, "Be pleased, O Lord, I pray, to go with us," be your daily prayer to God too, in all matters, in all your ways, all your days. Will you make it your prayer even today, this first day of a new week before us? You notice what was Elisha's response to the request. He answered, verse 3 tells us, "I will go." We should stop here for a moment and reflect on this. Elisha was quite an important man. In the chapters before and after our text passage, we see him speaking with kings and famous generals and men of brass, you might say, with the elite of the land, even also of the surrounding nations. Elisha also had quite a schedule of ministry. For sure, he was a busy man. Think of him only teaching in at least 3 different schools. Shall Elisha take time now to be with some juniors in a building project? Shall he go with them? Were there not more important things for him to do? Elisha answers the request, "I will go with you." From this we learn, though Elisha had the respect of kings, he never forgot to care for the faithful, also for the younger generation. Elisha's willingness to go along here with these young men shows his care for them, his love and concern for their keeping and development in God's ways. It shows his going the extra mile for them. Some people might have thought, "Elisha, you are wasting your time going along with them, or at least you are not making the best use of your time." But, dear friends, let no one think that time wasted, which is spent in cultivating the friendship and love of the young, and the time spent to be a further blessing for others in the truths and ways of the Lord. Let us be moved with Elisha's willingness to go along with those young people, and let us learn from it too, always humbly and lovingly to care about and to care for others, especially the younger generation, but the older generation too. I hope none of you will ever think of yourself as too big or too important or too busy for anyone in their needs. Especially also when asked by others for guidance and help and encouragement in life's journey. Do you and I come across as being most willing to come alongside of anyone and everyone who might call and ask, especially who might call and ask for help and encouragement in God's ways? The pleasant gospel truth we need to notice from our text too is that Elisha here, you know what? He represents God. He is called, as verse 6 mentions, the man of God. Indeed, this is his repeated title. Must we not say then that here Elisha is a picture of how God acts when people ask him to come alongside of them and to go with them in life's journey, even with what may seem like not such important parts of that journey? Yes, here we meet, dear friends, with the gospel message of the Bible. The gospel truth is that when you and I ask God to attend our way and never to leave us to ourselves and in with anything that we might be about, His promise then is, I will go with you. I will care for you. I will come alongside of you. How can the great and holy God, however, come alongside of us sinful people and accompany us for good in life's journey? Do you know the answer? The answer is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Elisha in his day, long before Christ's coming yet, he was teaching the true religion of God about the coming Messiah. And he was calling people to stay with their covenant God and to cling to His promises, and they would not be put to shame. We live now so many years after Jesus' coming and His death and resurrection as Savior of sinners. What then can and may we know for certain, even more clearly than in Elisha's day? We may know how through Christ, once for all sacrifice on sinners' behalf, calling upon Him now in repentance and faith, we may have truly and personally and completely God with us and for us in all our ways and in all our needs. We also live in the days after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and He is the Comforter, the one who comes alongside of us and who dwells in us for Jesus' sake. You see, the blessed gospel message is, dear friends, Christ as a sin-bearer, paying the punishment for sin in the sinner's place, He was forsaken as the just for the unjust, that we might never be forsaken, even as many as believe on Him. In Elisha's willingness as the man of God to go along with these sons of the prophets, do you see too God's willingness gladly to accompany us in all our ways and needs, even as we ask Him? In Exodus 33, verse 15, we read of Moses pleading with God, "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." Moses prays so to God for him to accompany them in their journey, otherwise he knew all would be hopeless and fruitless. And Moses did so, pleading God's promises of grace and mercy in the long-awaited Messiah. And we are told in that passage too that God said He would go with them, though they were so undeserving of that in themselves. The gospel truth is that God, for Jesus' sake, is a God of infinite grace and mercy for all who call upon Him. Again, therefore, let me urge, be sure to call upon the Lord in Jesus' name for His mercy and grace, for His leading and guidance in your life, indeed every day again. Don't you see the great need for this as well in life? I ask. Is there a listener who maybe responds thinking, "Look, I really can get along in life quite fine and well without this exercise of faith in God. I don't need this religion business in my life." You live independently from God, and you do neither realize nor admit your daily need of God, and you live for self and this world. Could that be? Yes, if the truth be told, though you are listening to this broadcast now, yet you say and believe God really is not relevant to you at all in your life. But dear friend, listen, the Holy Bible, which is God's inspired, authoritative word, teaches us that when God is not central in your life and not the focus of your life, that means you are still blind and lost in sin and headed for destruction except you be born again and converted. For you see, We are a sinful, guilty people before our Creator God in and of ourselves. This means apart from salvation from the Lord, we are headed for divine judgment for all our sins and sinfulness before Him. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, we are all, as a people, condemned in God's sight. Therefore, living apart from the Lord and the only Savior, no matter how much you may succeed in this world, Jesus lovingly warns us in Mark 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Dear friends, I tell you in Jesus' name, as ambassador of Christ today, the one way, yes, the only way of real blessing in life's journey is in the ways of the Lord, having God in Christ Jesus with you and for you in all of life's journey and beyond too. And to see that further, that indeed having God with us and for us is the way of real blessing, let us now continue with our text story. Maybe you were anxiously waiting even for us to get to this next part told in verses 4 to 7. What happens as our story unfolds? It seems all like not such a big deal. But the text in what it says tells such precious gospel truth. Just listen. The young men go and Elisha is with them, and arriving at the spot chosen for their new building, they begin working. And we are told while one man is cutting down a tree which will serve as one of the beams for the building, as he's chopping away, all of a sudden the head of the axe, that iron head, goes off the handle and goes flying into the air, and it plops into the River Jordan. You can picture it, can't you? And please do, the axe head slipping off the handle, flying through the air and falling into the water. Splash! I can imagine the man standing by the tree and thinking, "Oh no, now what?" It is striking, though, that we don't hear him say anything like that. But even as that axe head sinks away into the water, this man cries out to Elisha, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Probably many of the others heard the splash, and they see this man with just a wooden handle in his hands. And as everyone is taking in the situation, this cry is heard, "And it's a borrowed axe too, master Elisha. Now what am I going to do?" You see, the man could no longer do his part in the work. That was one problem. But the other problem was, how would he explain this to the owner of the axe? The text suggests, too, this man had no means of purchasing another one. We think of an axe as a relatively cheap tool in our times. But in those days, an axe was not so common and not so cheap. You might compare it to borrowing a laptop today and losing it or dropping it somewhere along the way. In what happened to this man, we learn again that often in life's journey, we can meet with unexpected setback and sudden disappointments and difficulties that you hadn't imagined at all. Yes, even when in the Lord's way and service, life is never always smooth and easy. Rather, as Psalm 90 also truthfully says, all people experience over the years many trials and sorrows and troubles and struggles. For you and your friends and family too, perhaps, you know of lots of hardships and hurts and troubles and trials and unexpected knocks and shocks in life's journey in one form or another. But perhaps you respond to this text now thinking, "But Pastor, this story in 2 Kings 6 is just about someone losing an axe head. What is the big deal about that?" But you see, that just so much the more brings out the power of this story, telling of the way of real blessing in life's journey. Nothing is too little a matter for God not to care about when we bring it to Him. This man calls upon Elisha for help in his predicament, and notice the help he receives. Right away, Elisha was there, representing the God who is a very present help in trouble, as Psalm 46 verse 1 tells us. And the man of God asks him where the axe head fell. The man shows him the place where it fell, in the river, and Elisha cuts down a stick to size and throws it on top of the water, right at the spot where the axe head supposedly fell into the water. And lo and behold, we are told, that axe head comes up to the surface. And as we may conclude, it joins itself to that stick that serves maybe as a new handle that Elisha made for it. And then, as it comes closer to the riverbank, the person is told to reach out for it and take it in his hand. Here we see Elisha, by God's power, performs a miracle, so that the axe head, against the laws of gravity, comes to the surface and is repaired, and the man may continue his work again. The man doesn't have to worry about his borrowed axe being lost anymore. Now, the power of this relatively simple story is that it teaches us, dear friends, in all our needs, with all our cares and responsibilities and disappointments, to go to God and to tell Him all. The fact that the story is only about a lost axe head reinforces the gospel truth that there is no matter too little or too small that you can't bring to God and tell Him, and that He won't care about or come to the rescue for. And especially so in matters related to God's cause and kingdom. As this young man went to Elisha, the man of God, with his need, so you and I may and should go and tell God all about our needs every day again. In all of life's circumstances, the Lord is saying, "What is it? Tell me. See if I can't and won't help you." And this story proves what an almighty Savior God the Lord is. A miracle takes place in our text passage, teaching us again, nothing is too hard for the Lord. And what is impossible with men is possible with Him. God is the Lord of unlimited resources and power in all our needs. No sinner need be left hopeless calling on the Lord as revealed in the Bible and in Christ Jesus the Savior, of whom the whole Bible speaks. Oh, that we all would learn as quickly and trustingly to cry out to God in our needs as did this man when his borrowed axe head fell into the water. Don't we too often moan and groan about our troubles to others, instead of humbling ourselves and casting our cares upon the Lord, even as we meet with those cares? I know I can learn from this man who lost his axe head, and from his going to Elisha the moment it happened. Maybe you can learn from him too. Isn't it striking here as well that Elisha asks the man to show him where the axe head fell? It is as if, taking the story symbolically, the man of God is saying, tell me exactly where you lost your working power, your effectiveness in life, yes, also in God's service, and see if I can't and won't help you. Maybe, dear friends, this year 2010, you started off with a bang, as it were. You resolved really to live closer to God and all for God, and to be a faithful, holy, busy Christian in God's service at home, at work, and in the church and community. But now, more than halfway through this year already, it seems like you surely have lost your cutting-edge focus, and you are fumbling and failing in so many ways. Maybe you feel like this man standing there with a broken axe handle in your hands, and you know not where and how to get back your hopeful outlook and your zealous energy and useful service in God's ways. You know what you must do then? Tell all to the Lord. Pour out your heart before Him, my dear hearer. Tell Him all, and confess your sins and sinfulness, pleading His mercy and grace, and see if He won't help and can't help you. This true story declares He surely will and gladly does come to our defense in time of need. As one commentator put it well, and I quote, "The Lord will undertake for you, and the lost hope shall swim again against all odds before your very eyes." End of quote. Trust and obey Him, for there's no other way. Yes, time and time again. You realize too, it's only in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, that God repeatedly can and does so reach out to us in our needs. Yes, time and again. "My God," said Paul to the Philippians, "shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus," or through Christ Jesus. Some have read into our text a reference to Christ crucified and risen again, with the axe head being buried into the waters and raised again to the surface. But it seems to me that is reading into the text rather than drawing from the text. Others make reference to Christ in our text passage with that piece of wood that Elisha cut and threw on the water, as representing somehow the cross of Jesus Christ, in whom and through whom God is an overflowing fountain of good for us, even for as many as call upon Him. I think again that that is stretching the text to say something that isn't necessarily there. We need not go to such far-fetched interpretations to find Christ in the text, for He is represented in Elisha, the man of God, who acts here on God's bidding and in view of the full revelation of God with the coming of Christ. Elisha's helpful and wonderful ministry in so many ways in his day was a foreshadowing of Christ's far more helpful and wonderful ministry through His saving work on sinners' behalf. Our text brings out not only should we call out to God in all our needs, but we should in humble faith receive also His help as it is offered to us in and through Christ Jesus. Notice how Elisha calls this man to take up the received gift of the retrieved axe head. This man, the text tells us, had to reach out for it. And we are told he put out his hand and took it. Could it be some of you are standing, as it were, observing what riches of mercy and grace are found in Jesus Christ and through Him, but you are not reaching out to Him in faith, but always standing afar off for this and that reason? You know about Christ and realize even you need Him above all, but you don't, and you won't be joined to Him in spirit and in truth. Well, why would you continue any longer in that way? Hear the gospel word of the Lord God for all peoples in all ages and at all times, my friends. Come unto Jesus and receive out of His fullness grace for grace. Won't you too learn from our text passage the one way of real blessing in life's journey for each and all of us? Our text story is not a newspaper clipping, but rather part of the inspired Word of God, written and given and proclaimed to us from a special care which God has for us and our salvation. Oh, hear then the wonderful words of life, as also proclaimed to us from this almost embarrassingly simple story of 2 Kings 6, verse 1 to 7. And read it again for yourself, won't you? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.